The first reading from God's Word this morning comes from Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, from chapter 5. You'll find this on page 1171 in your pew Bibles. So that's Galatians chapter 5 and reading from verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is required to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. The second reading comes from the Gospel of Jesus as recorded by the Apostle Matthew, and you'll find that on page 977 of the Bible. So that's Matthew, and that's chapter 11, and reading from verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Good morning, everyone. Morning. Let me just pray for us as we begin. Lord, we thank you for your word, which is a light for our path and a lamp to our feet. And we pray that it might be that for us this morning as we look into this passage together. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if you've got the message yet. Today is our seventh sermon on the book of Galatians. You may have been here for all of them or some of them. And I wonder if you've got the message yet. If this is the first one you're hearing, don't worry, you'll soon get the gist. It seems that perhaps Paul is saying the same thing in as many different ways as he can. There's been a quarrel going on for these Galatian Christians who were from both Jewish and non-Jewish backgrounds. There were two views. One view was that God treats Jews and non-Jews in the same way. He wants everyone to receive new life by faith in Jesus. That was Paul's position. The other view was that if non-Jews want to become Christians, they must obey the law of Moses and be circumcised. In other words, they must become Jews first. The row went right to the heart of what the Christian faith was all about. Was it only for Jews or for people of every race? Were you saved simply by believing in Jesus or by obeying the Old Testament law? Paul's letter was sparked off by hearing that the Galatians had been paid a visit by teachers who dumped the law on them and told them they had to be circumcised. He is passionate that they know the truth. And he obviously knew that research shows that we probably need to hear a message at least seven times before it sinks in. Repeating something only three times is likely to be a waste of breath. So if you want your child to tidy their room or your husband to remember that you love to receive flowers at the weekend, you might need to repeat yourself before anything happens. We have heard that the Christian life is about freedom, not fear, grace, not graft, mercy, not merit, liberty, not law, and last week that we are sons, not slaves. Paul is so keen that they understand, and I wonder if you've got the message yet. And in chapter 5, and do keep your Bibles open, I think it's page 1171, it would be helpful as we go through. In chapter 5, and moving on from chapter 4, because we are not slaves, we are free. And in verse 1, Paul reminds us, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Through his work on the cross, he has set us free from the demands of the law as the way in which we gain God's favor. The tense there, he has set us free. That's a work that has been done. His work on the cross was a sacrifice for sin, once for all, never to be repeated. The work is done. We have been set free. And Jesus has set us free so we can be free. He is the liberator. When we become Christians, we're no longer slaves, and the Christian life is one of freedom. That's freedom from the struggle to obey the law as the way to please God, and freedom from the guilt and shame of sin. We are forgiven, accepted totally by God in Jesus, secure, nothing can snatch us from his hand, and the cross provides freedom and healing from all that would drag us down, restoring us from the inside out. We have been set free so that we can be free. We are not to be like a prisoner who's been released, whose prison door is open, but who stays there in his cell and doesn't step into his freedom. Nor like the image that C.S. Lewis gives of a child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday by the seaside. We have been set free by Jesus so that we can be free. And we must hold on to that freedom, Paul says, and not let ourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That's the burden of taking back on the practice of the law of Moses. Both Jesus and the early church saw the requirements of the law as being a yoke that no one can bear. We must not go back to the idea that we have to win our acceptance with God by our own obedience. There is the picture of a farm animal bowed down by a heavy yoke, just like us under the burden of the law and its demands that we can never meet. Jesus met those demands for us and took that yoke from our shoulders, replacing them with his easy yoke and his light burdens, as our gospel reading told us. Christianity is freedom, so we must stand firm and not go back to a place of slavery. And there are two messages in this passage for us today. Don't lose your freedom, and don't abuse your freedom. I love the way Paul starts in verse 2, mark my words. I wonder how many of us here today, I can definitely recall, heard someone in our family perhaps saying that in the context of disapproval of something. You mark my words, it'll all end in tears. Or you mark my words, he'll come back with his tail between his legs. Perhaps it paves the way for I told you so at some later date. But it certainly is a call to listen, and it's a warning. Paul is absolutely passionate, and there are some strong words in these verses. He cares so much for the church. He says there are choices to be made, and these choices will determine your freedom. So the first is choose relationship, not rules, verses 2-6. As you'll know by now, the precise issue in Galatia was the view that converts had to be circumcised. Surely it doesn't matter that much. It's just a minor surgical procedure. What's all the fuss about? Circumcision stood for a religion based on rules, in which you were saved through obeying the law. Unless you're circumcised and keep the law, you cannot be saved. And so once you have been circumcised, Paul says you're committed to keeping the whole law. That's it. You can't pick and choose. If we were going to say that to be put right with God, alongside believing in Jesus, we also had to obey some aspects of the law, which parts would we choose? We might think the Ten Commandments would be okay. They're pretty clear. Maybe they're not too hard to do. But then we couldn't leave out Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. And so we'd have to be committed to obeying everything if we want to be right with God. And that has things to say about anger, keeping promises, our thought life, how we spend our money, praying, fasting, loving our enemies. And we couldn't fail on any of them. 100% prayerful, 100% forgiving, never worrying, never judging. In short, perfect. In short, impossible. If that was the way to be saved, keeping the rules, there would be little sense of freedom, always feeling a failure, never being good enough, and no way to reach the standards God is expecting. Guilt, shame, discouragement, insecurity. If you choose rules over relationship, Christ will be of no value to you, and you will be alienated from Jesus. To add rules is to lose Jesus. To seek to be justified by obeying the law is to fall from grace. It's impossible to receive Jesus, and so acknowledging that you cannot save yourself, and then add in essential rules, and so claim that you can actually have a part in saving yourself. It's that divine maths that we thought about already. 1 + 1 = 0. Because to add anything to Christ, you lose Christ. He is either all our value, or he is without value. Amazingly, in verse 6, Paul says that neither religion nor lack of religion count towards establishing a relationship with God. So he sort of places in the same boat those who would rely on their own efforts to keep the rules, who would be religious, and those who have no regard at all for the things of God. Both of them need their relationship with God restored through faith in Jesus' death on the cross. That's what counts, and all that counts. Don't lose your freedom. Choose relationship, not rules. Be reminded that your good performance doesn't make you right with God, nor does your bad performance make you any more lost. When we fail or feel a failure, we should remind ourselves that God's love and acceptance is not any less at that moment. We must stop ourselves when we find ourselves thinking, God won't listen to me, bless me, use me, unless I get my act together, pray more, whatever it might be for you. So don't lose your freedom. Choose relationship, not rules. Peace, not performance. And secondly, choose the cross, not compromise. And we see this in verses 7 to 12. Circumcision was about compromise. The Galatians had been running a good race. But like someone who crosses your path when you're running and makes you stumble, or puts you off your stride, or makes you lose concentration, so the persuasion of those false teachers threw them into confusion, drawing them from the truth. Paul doesn't seem to know who it is, but they have been among them like a little bit of yeast, working away unseen, but influencing the whole batch of dough. And verse 11 suggests that the false teachers have even been implying that Paul himself agrees with circumcision. No way, says Paul. What they are each preaching couldn't be more different. The false teachers preach circumcision, which is to tell people they can save themselves by their own good works. Paul preaches Christ crucified, which is to tell people that they cannot, and that only Jesus can save them through the cross. To speak that message is to make yourself unpopular, and in Paul's case, he was persecuted. Today, on the one hand, we live in an age of tolerance. It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere. It's best not to clarify things too plainly or narrow them down. It's great to have the best of both worlds, keep your feet in two camps, cover all the bases, preach the cross and circumcision. Preach faith in Jesus, but also preach the need to strive to be perfect, to do certain things, observe certain rules, be a certain kind of person. We all like to think that we're not too bad, really, maybe even pretty good, and God should be pleased with what we can offer him. But the truth is that we can only be saved at the foot of the cross. And that can upset people's pride, that none of their good works count. Jesus crucified is still a scandal today. Paul describes the cross in 1 Corinthians as a stumbling block to Jews who expected a different kind of Messiah, simply foolishness to the rest of us. Paul was persecuted for holding fast to the message of the cross. In order not to lose our freedom, we have to choose between the cross and compromise. We cannot sit on the fence. If we have a message that is about human achievement, about obeying rules first and foremost, it might actually be quite attractive. It can be flattering to us and to others, and it's not really an offense in any way. But it doesn't really set us free. We won't be sure if we've done enough, and we won't have the future hope that verse 5 says that Christians wait for. And when in our own eyes, or the eyes of those around us, we're not good enough, or beautiful enough, or intelligent, or successful enough, or feel that what we have to offer has no worth, we will lose any sense of freedom. But our freedom remains if we hold to the cross of Jesus, realizing that we don't need to be any of those things, for it's about what God has done for us through the finished work of Jesus Christ, And what is required of us that some people can't bear to do is to humbly come. Our anthem this morning talks about the grace and love that flow down from the cross. Let's hold on to the message of the cross without compromise. A stumbling block to some, simply foolishness to others, but freedom for those he has called. So don't lose your freedom. And more briefly, in verses 13 to 15, don't abuse your freedom. Paul says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free." Lots of people in our culture would be up for that, would be up for freedom. And of course, we mustn't take the freedom that we have for granted. We talk about freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of sexual expression, freedom to find yourself, define yourself, redefine yourself, live the way you want, as long as it doesn't harm someone else. Paul has told the Galatians over and over again that because of Jesus, they don't have to do anything to earn God's favor. So one of the logical responses is to say, well, fantastic, I can behave exactly how I want then. At first sight, the good news of Jesus seems to take away any need to live a holy life. To forget that God has accepted us, to forget that there is no need to live in guilt and shame, is to lose our freedom. To forget that we are to lead a holy life is to abuse our freedom. In both cases, we've lost our grasp on the gospel. Paul says, do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. That means do not use your freedom to live in a self-centered way. Our choice here is that we are called to choose service, not selfishness. No more do we need to obey the law to be saved, but now that we are saved freely by grace, in response, given that we have great reason to love God, that love overflows into loving our neighbor rather than serving ourselves. Love your neighbor as yourself sums up the whole law in one command. The good news of Jesus gives us freedom to live any way we want. But if we truly understand who Jesus is and what he has done for us, we will ask how we can live for him. And we are called to love each other with our words, with our actions, so that we bring life to each other. That's how we show our love for God, and that's how we make his heart sing. We have freedom from sin, but not freedom to sin. We have freedom to approach God without fear, but not freedom to treat others without love. We cannot be accepted by God by keeping the law, but having been accepted, we keep the law out of love for him who has both accepted us and given the Holy Spirit to enable us to keep it. Don't lose your freedom. Choose relationship with God in Jesus, not rules. Choose to live in the light of the cross without compromise. And don't abuse your freedom. Choose the path of service, not selfishness. Stand firm in this, for it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We are not to let ourselves be burdened again. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Stand firm. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the cross. We pray that you would help us to keep our eyes focused on all that you did for us there, and that we wouldn't rely on anything that we can do but come humbly to you. But as we come, then turn and see how we can use our freedom for the good of each other. and for our community and our world. And help us, Lord Jesus, to stand firm, we pray. Amen.